Hello, Steve. Hello, Jill. It's time to game classy.
Yeah. Well, no, I think what a lot of people are finally learning, people who are finally getting into Age of Sigmar now that they've realized, oh shit, this is kind of cool. A lot of people are like, wait a second, where's all my old armies? Like,
They're still there.
Nah, they're still there. They're just bad.
Well, it's not that they're even still there. It's just that, like, guys, we went through this 3 years ago. And or like some of us went through it, like me, 2 years ago, a year and a half ago, where we're like, oh, they just put the rules in there to be nice. These aren't supposed to be played. Like, people can test out the rules with their old armies just to, you know, have some fun with it. But you'll never see, like, an old-school dwarf army, like, really do anything. No.
But mixed order was actually pretty good. If you had, like, Empire and dwarves and elves, like, if those were your Warhammer armies, you could put together a pretty good Age of Sigmar list.
I mean, you still can do that, but the thing is that most people have, like, one army.
Yeah, if you were one of the people who only had one army, then... Yeah, you might not have a transplant. You might, but probably not.
Like Skaven right now, it's like, hey, do you have anything other than
Storm Fiends?
No, not Storm Fiends. The Plague Bearers. No.
Oh,
you're screwed.
Oh, that, don't worry about. They're not even that good. The things that are good is the Storm Fiends.
Yeah, Storm Fiends.
The 12 Storm Fiend list. No. It's just 12 Storm Fiends.
That's dumb.
It's really funny.
Doom. It's Doom, Steve.
They're a weird list because, like, there's most of the, like, lists that seem really nasty, like the Storm Fiends ones, like, they never win tournaments, but they're, like, they're really gross. It's just like, that list is really gross.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Game Classy. I'm your host, Joe, and with me, as always, is my co-host, Steve.
McGrillix.
So we got a lot to talk about, so let's not bury the lead, Steve. Warhammer Age of Sigmar 2.0.
Yay.
Woo!
Looking good.
I'm actually surprised that they're releasing a 2.0.
I think it's reasonable for them to do it because they only need to do tweaks and they can just call it a 2.0.
Tweaks. Yeah.
And like, I would say that a rules change as big as like not being able to shoot out of combat, like that's enough to be like, all right, well, let's do these tweaks. Plus they're adding the command points.
Well, I think actually the main reason they're doing it is so they could sell another box set. As I mentioned this on the podcast, box sets sell insane in the UK.
True, but they don't need a new edition to make more box sets.
They
just dump those. Then they make a lot of box sets now. I've seen that like four, like every there's a box set every few months, like for either game. Like there was a Blight War, then there's Forgebane, and it's like, oh, you guys just keep going with box sets.
Well, and that's, you know, it's twofold. One is that they're cheap entry points into the game, and two, that's the only way people in the UK buy anything Warhammer related.
That's fair.
Because they're always like, I'm not buying regular units. I'm just going to wait till the Forgebane box comes out.
Also, they
I'm going to boil me meat.
It actually looks like they make a pretty decent boxed game.
Oh, yeah. God. That Age of Sigmar 2.0.
Yeah.
No, the 2.0.
Oh, yeah.
It's a fucking amazing box set. Blight War was a terrible box set.
Oh, Blight War is fun as hell. What are you talking about? The game is great.
Well, I mean, for the Plague Bearer stuff is all great. Like, the Nurgle stuff in there is fantastic, especially if you have other Nurgle stuff.
Yeah.
But the Stormcast Vanguard is one of the worst armies I've ever had to put together in my life.
Oh, right. Yeah, I remember you were...
like, their shoulder pads don't match up. What the fuck?
I remember you were lamenting your life when you were putting this together.
They're the worst models ever. They have like those capes,
which sucks because they're so cool looking and like oddly shouldn't be hard to put together.
Oh, they're insanely hard to put together, and the capes go off in all different weird directions and the heads don't fit in the head holes.
That was one of the things I noticed about when I was building Shadespire too, is like all those Stormcast things, like there's no excuse for the way they've built, because they could just do a front torso with the full shoulder pad going over it.
Yeah.
So when you just slide the two pieces together, there's no seam in the shoulder pads.
Yeah. Oh, no.
It's so
weird.
Oh,
no. Yeah.
It's like, but they have some Stormcast that do go together like that. So why don't all of them go together?
I know.
Together like
that's
that?
What I've been saying, Steve. You finally got the Joe idea.
Well, I didn't see the sprues, and then I saw the sprues, and I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
I was like, this is what he's talking about.
So, for those who are unaware, Age of Sigmar 2.0 is going to be released, I think, in July.
June.
June.
It's imminent. It's next month.
Imminent. They have it's going to come, of course, with the Storm Boys, the Magicky Storm Boys. There's Storm Girls in there, too. Or what do I call them? They come awesome. Femboys.
Femboys. They look fucking awesome.
The Femboys are coming out. They got tabards.
I can't wait. They look really cool.
They
and
have
fucking ghosts.
They have. But the Storm Boys have a bow that shoots a mace. It doesn't shoot an arrow.
I believe it shoots a mace. I believe it's an explosive.
No, that's a goddamn mace.
You think it's just a mace? Just like they launch a mace?
Exactly. That's what they do.
That would fuck someone up. To be fair.
I just was like, they should do that. Like an army that shoots like a... I have a bow that shoots a sword. What? It shoots a sword.
Shoots a motherfucking sword.
It's like, oh, shit.
Yeah, I guess that's horrible. I don't want to get shot by a sword.
I mean, an arrow, I have a chance of survival, but a sword,
yeah,
that's
going to go through me.
Yeah. And you're going to get your first Storm Boy magician.
The scene in Lord of the Rings would have been a lot different if the Uruk-hai were shooting swords.
And you get your first war machine, which is, of course, a ballista.
Grenade launcher ballista. Looks cool. I think that box set looks awesome. I'm super stoked for it.
Then you get the Knight on Bald Mountain Ghosty Boys.
They look really good. They spoiled the rules for... Knight on Bald Mountain is...
Dun, dun. Dun, 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 dun. I love that.
That animation?
Oh, yeah.
It's fantastic.
Yeah.
Chernabog. So good.
That's
dude, old Disney animation. Mwah. Delicious.
I mean, it looks like all the stuff from that army looks like it's straight out of Night at Bald Mountain. Which,
oh, yeah, for sure.
Which
that's
is like
the swirling ghosts like around
I know,
Chernabog.
And I'm not a big undead fan. I like Tomb Kings. Like, you're a big Tomb King fan.
I love Tomb Kings.
I've never been a big fan of vampire counts in general, but man, these guys are cool looking.
Vampire counts, I like very select models in the vampire counts. Like, I really like Nagash. I think he's cool. I like Nagash's bodyguards, the Mortari or whatever.
Yeah. Well, those aren't really vampire. That's all undead. That was all done at the end.
Yeah, yeah. I guess I've never been into the vampire parts of vampire. Yeah. Like, although I do like the Von Karstein model who's literally doing the cape. And he's got like the goofy ass face. That guy's funny. But yeah, I've never been into the vampire parts of the vampire counts for sure.
Yeah.
Like, I like skeletons. Yeah. I think skeletons are cool.
You love the Skelebones.
I do like Skelebones, and if Workshop ever does Redux of the Tomb Kings army, they've got me. They've got me forever.
We want some Tomb Kings Skelebones.
Well, yeah, I said like because I almost bought it, but I saw someone was selling the old Tomb Kings box. Do you remember they used to do the big army boxes?
Yeah,
the limited,
I have one at home.
Yeah, someone was selling the Tomb King box for like $90. On eBay, and I was just like, oh.
How much was shipping, though?
$23.
Oh, that's not bad, dude. You should have bought that.
But I didn't, but very specifically because I was just like, no.
I'm not getting suckered into buying Tomb Kings again.
And I was like, you know what? No. Because A, that would be completely unplayable. I would need to get a shit ton more stuff.
Yeah.
B, I was like, no, if I go on this journey, it's going to end up costing me a fortune to track down all the models I want.
Yeah.
Get the army together, and then somehow, some way, because I did this, causality will make Games Workshop release a brand new, awesome Tomb Kings army.
That's very true. And that's the funny thing too is like the stuff from the Tomb Kings back that you could still use, like the Skelebones and. I think I've built
like 400 old of those old skeleton models. I don't ever want to put one together
again.
Yeah,
those skeletons. And the thing is skeletons aren't even really that great in Age of Sigmar.
Skeleton spearmen are really good.
I guess.
They're very, I don't know if the Tomb Kings ones are good, but the Nagash ones are great because like 40 skeleton spearmen is like impossible to chew through, and then you bring back like 18 a turn.
No, that's true too. Yeah,
because the gravesites don't bring back random, and it's like the gravesites bring back like six models or three models.
Yeah, they brought the new rules for
it. There's no dice anymore for the gravesites. They just bring back X number. So like it's you have to kill 40 skeletons in a turn to like get rid of them. Otherwise, they slog you down. I played against a 40 man skeleton blocks at Adepticon. And I was like, this thing is a fucking nightmare.
Yeah.
I'm like they killed like a Blight King, and I'm like, all right, my Blight Kings are tough. And then just like my Blight Kings like fucking went crazy and just did a shit ton of damage. I was like, yeah. And he's like, all right. And he takes all these models down. And I'm like, yes, I'm gonna kill that unit the next round. And he's like, and he just puts all the models back. I'm like, god damn it.
Okay, so Age of Sigmar version 2 has two big rule changes to it, or one big rule change, one small rule change. They're changing magic.
No one knows what the magic gonna be because there's those weird models which look awesome.
Yeah, they're changing the magic a little bit, and they're gonna have like weird magic effect models that you're gonna have to buy.
Yeah, I think they're gonna. I have no idea. My gut feeling says that those spells are going to be points buy spells, like the Balewind Vortex.
Yeah,
like they're gonna be some like you buy like that moth or like the purple sun.
You buy now.
Yeah, well, like the purple sun costs like 80 points, and like you start it in reserve and you summon it. That's my guess.
I will summon the purple sun.
Yeah. Oh, it's cool. I like the idea of having
summon the giant squig thing.
Like, conceptually, I don't have a problem with a spell that can possibly kill a unit. Yeah. Conceptually. But the way it's implemented in 8th edition is stupid as shit because you just throw dice.
Yeah.
You're just like, dice, oh, your unit's dead.
Yeah.
Like, having something that goes on the table that you can avoid or manipulate, it makes it's way cooler.
Yeah.
Because it's like, oh, don't get hit by the purple sun. It's fucking there. Don't get hit by it.
And then next, we also have a change to the turn system. Because Games Workshop can't do it, so alternating units, that's too much. We can't do that. No. You have to play all of your side, then you play all of the other side.
They're never going to not do that.
It's the worst. It's so much better to have alternating units.
They don't even have alternating... Did they have alternating units in any of
no,
their games?
No, never.
Yeah, it's always...
Never had
it's
that.
It's always full side, full side.
Yeah, it's full... skirmish games, you have one guy then goes, then another guy goes. But that's even... That's as much as they'll ever do. They'll never do unit to unit because that's sacrilege. Are you kidding me? That speeds up the game. We're not going to have time to drink our tea.
Actually, playing more people in Warhammer, I think that the alternating units would slow the game down because people would be like, did I activate that unit?
That's why you get the little activation chits.
Little
like
tokens.
Get, yeah. But anyway, so they're changing that. So it's no longer I go, you go, and then there's a chance that it's... You go, I go. They threw in a little kink in there that if it's a tie, a roll-off tie, the person who had priority last turn gets to decide who goes first, who goes second.
Yeah, which is very cool.
It's not that huge of a change, but it's a little change.
It seems like a small change, but it's going to come up in probably every game you play.
Yeah.
Like I said, at Adepticon, there was at least one against every player where we tied initiative.
Yeah.
Like, it's going to come up in every game.
And but fuck all that shit. They're releasing a new black coach, and it's the coolest fucking model ever put out. It's got flaming wheels.
It's
everything
awesome.
That I've wanted in a black coach model ever.
It looks badass.
Because the black coach was the dumbest thing ever.
Really old.
Until they came out with this new one. Now, this new one, fan-fucking-tastic.
I think the black coach was completely serviceable when it came out like 20 years ago. Like, that is a fine model for when it came out. It was that model's old as fuck.
It came out, I think, in I want to say 98, 97, 98.
I'm pretty sure
98.
It was a 5th edition model.
It was tail end 5th when they split the vampire counts from undead.
Yeah.
To vampire counts and undead.
Yeah, that's an old fucking model.
I'm not arguing it's not an old model.
Like I said, it's totally serviceable when it came out.
Yeah,
that's a simple. That's all I gotta say about it.
But you also had that time had Vlad von Karstein had puffy pants.
He did have poofy pants.
He had poofy pants. Yeah. He had MC Hammer pants.
I actually think that the coach itself is like a totally fine model. It doesn't work for the aesthetic of Warhammer anymore.
It's small in comparison to what
they're
doing.
Right, it's too
small.
But it's still, I would say it's still a fantastic, like, if you were to use it as a terrain piece, like, set it on, like, a little, like...
Hear that, Rob Hawkins? Your black coach? Stupid now. It's stupid.
Set it on a little cobblestone path and, like, have your little terrain. Yeah. And I'd be like, all right,
that's a little worse. I like it. Yeah, that's cool. That's
right. It's good.
Yeah.
And there's another big change. Command abilities are no longer restricted to just your general.
Oh, yeah.
You get command points. You get one command point a turn, and you get one extra at the start of the game for each battalion you take. So most people on average that's going to be one.
Yeah.
And they don't expire, so you can save them. And then to use a command ability, you spend a command point during the hero phase.
I like that a lot.
But they carry over. So if you don't use any for the first two rounds, and you say you have, say you started with two, you'll then start round three with four command points, so you can just go command ability, command ability, command ability, command ability. I don't know if you can repeatedly use the same one, but that'll be interesting to find out.
I wonder how that'll affect Archeon.
His command ability is being changed.
Okay.
It's being completely reworked. All of the command abilities that reference other command abilities are being reworked.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
And that's why we need a new edition.
Yeah. There's enough
new
changes.
Edition.
There's enough changes to make it a new edition. So...
All right, so then let's moving on from from the Age of Sigmar. I don't think there's any other big news with the actual Age of Sigmar.
There's going to be the next Warhammer Underworld set, which is going to be the undead versus the new Stormcast.
Yeah, it's essentially the same box set, just three right. models.
It's just
yeah.
like how the, it's just like how Shade Warhammer Shadespire was, but yeah. it had the Khorne Boys versus Stormcast because yeah. that was the box set for Age of Sigmar.
Oh, there you go.
It was the same. It's Gortide guys versus regular ass Stormcast, and that's yeah. exactly what the starter box was.
Yes, and so let's transition into Shadespire beta rules.
Yes,
we talked about it on the last cast. Relics. eventually, this was the quickest I've ever seen GW react to something that was broken. So at least we know that the Shadespire team is on it.
Yep, they're on it. And well, I mean, it was bad enough that like they didn't even stream the grand finals of the last Grand Clash because it was two relic decks.
It was two relic decks. Yeah. Relics were bad.
I won a trophy.
Yeah, Steve won a trophy.
I won a Shadespire tournament with relics.
Yeah, but he won it over in Geneva. So
I wasn't in Geneva.
Where was
Giuseppe
it?
Won it in Geneva.
Was it?
I won in Naperville.
Yeah, Steve won in Naperville. Not really a top tier store.
It's like, a brand new store.
I know. That's
what get out of here. You're just jealous that you don't have a Shadespire trophy.
I'm okay with
you
that.
Couldn't beat my relics deck.
I'm okay with that.
You're not. It's eating you
I'm
up
proud
inside,
of you, Steve.
It's
I'm
eating
proud
you up
of
inside.
You. No, I am. I'm perfectly gracious yeah. in your win of that trophy at a store like, that like I, three people go to.
It's a pretty good turnout.
That's not what Tim would say.
Tim would be like, there wasn't a tournament.
Did you just go into the store and they gave it to you, Steve?
Because yeah, you were the only one who showed up.
Is that what happened?
Well, because I kept playing in Shadespire tournaments and I kept bringing like Reavers and being like, yeah, I'll just bring, you know, a balanced Reavers list and like see what I can do. And I kept going like 2-1. Like not winning, and I was like, you know what, fuck it, I'm getting a goddamn trophy. So I put together the most degenerate relics list I possibly could with Magor's Fiends.
Magor!
And I was like, you know what, this list should be really good, and it should also beat the current top relic deck, the Stormcast version. I was like, because the way I built my Magor's deck naturally countered what the Stormcast did while still doing the same strategy. And I ended up playing a Stormcast relic deck in the final. I blew him out twice because nice. Of what I was using. And I was like, yes.
So for those who are unaware, the Stormcast and the Shadespire basically was broken by the relics decks, which is actually something that I think we talked about before, that we're like, oh yeah, these relics are, it's going to be interesting to see once they release all the relics, how it's going to affect yeah. the game. And it affected the game horribly.
Yeah, hugely. Yeah.
So they basically, instead of saying like, They're banned, or they're no good, or changing them in some weird esoteric way. They basically said, yeah, it's double the point cost to buy them.
Yeah, you have to spend 2 glory. So they basically killed the deck.
Yeah, and they were like, and everyone was like, aw. My favorite thing was going online, and I subscribe to the Shadespire.
That Facebook group?
The Facebook
Dude,
group.
That group is the fucking worst.
But it's so funny because their guy's like, I have an alternate rule for the relics deck. I think we should try.
Yeah, your alternate rule doesn't matter.
And everyone was like, no. Your rule is dumb. It's just all that people do when they come up with alternate rules is like, I run a relics deck, and this is a way that I could still run a
relics
deck.
The only other way this is a way they could fix it. They could fix it by banning one relic, which yeah. means you could never get to the full six, so you couldn't get to the glory. Or they change the last ability to only activate once per game.
Yeah, I mean, it's
that those are the changes they can make. So this is an easy change because it doesn't affect any wording on the card.
Yeah,
it's just a universal change. Like relics cost 2 glory.
How many relics decks are there? And relics are there 4 or 5?
There's 6.
There's 6. So it'll cost 12 glory to get all. You know, no,
it's
that's
totally even, unreasonable because yeah. the relics deck is generated. The way the relics deck works is it doesn't play. Yeah. It just draws cards. It stays. It tries to get longboard, deploys as far away from you as possible, spends the first round just drawing power cards, doing nothing,
yeah.
and it scores passive objectives like nobody took damage. You're all on the edge of your board. You didn't move.
Yeah.
Like those are all the objective things. So the way the deck operated is the whole entire point was to score 5 glory before turn 3, and then you would use the card Spoils of Victory, which lets you play an upgrade for free as your to get your 6th piece. So all you needed was 5 glory by the end of turn 2, because you will 100% see all the pieces, and you can get equipped, and you could just use your last turn to get 16 glory.
Yeah, that's pretty ridiculous.
It's super good. Now, all of those decks are still good. That's the thing. That's the thing about it is like you take the relics out and just put in regular upgrades, you can still play that deck and it's still strong as fuck because yeah. the strategy of denying your opponent the ability to do anything and still generating glory is still very strong.
Yeah.
It's it's more counterable now, though, because the biggest problem with the actual biggest problem with the relics lies in the scoring of how Workshop did the ranking system for the game. And we were talking about this a little bit before we started recording, but they do a glory differential. So the way it works is if we both go to the tournament and we both 3-0, so we both beat all of our opponents, and I beat my opponents by a narrow margin, like 2-2-2, you crushed your opponents because you had relics, so you did like
before me.
So you beat by your differential was 20-20-20, so you're plus 60, I'm plus 6. You win the tournament because you won bigger games. So it's kind of an opposite strength of schedule. Like the more you body the person, the better it is, but that rewards you for playing weaker players, not stronger ones. Which it's a deeply flawed tournament system, especially when there's something like the relics that can generate a huge dump of glory.
Wait a second. You're saying GW fucked up a tournament system?
I mean, it's the best they've done so far, and it's very easy to fix. But the first fix is making relics not viable is good, because now you're going to have glory. You're going to have games that are tighter. Like, yeah. that's important. Like, you're not going to have someone, because that was the problem. Like, you could, like, if you played like Reavers and you went 8-0 and like won all your games, but like barely hedged out your wins, you'd be like, oh, cool. Like, I did really well. And then like somebody would be like, I'm plus 130 glory because I got my relics off my first 5 rounds. And you're like, oh. Yeah, I can't win this tournament. Like, cool. So, like, it's an easy fix. There's multiple ways they can fix it. I sent a laundry list of how they can fix it. So did Kevin. We've been blasting their rules team.
Dear Games Workshop.
Yeah, seriously. But I actually got responded to. I was like, oh, nice. Because there's
and they said, Dear Steve, fuck off.
No, they would never say fuck off. They're British.
No, I'm chuffed at your rules.
I love the word chuffed.
I hate it. It's the stupidest word.
Chuffed is a fun word.
It's a fun word, but when you hear enough British...
He's a chuffed up bloke.
Yeah, I mean, it's fine like when you hear like a British fella say it like in conversation. You're like, oh, that's nice. But when you see people like say like, I'm quite chuffed at the way I painted this guy. I'm like, no, that's dumb. Say something American, like, I have a raging boner at my paint job.
There's a huge ruling dispute right now that's like, it's so pedantic because the people who are on the side...
pedantry is my favorite.
Oh my god, it's so bad. Because like, the people who are on the side of like it not working, it's just like, you are like... So the arguments boil down to this. It's what is a warband? Is the warband just your models, which are referred to on many, many, many cards as fighters? And then there are also cards that specifically say warband. So is your warband your side? So is it your fighters, your ploys, your upgrades, all that stuff? Is that your warband, or is it literally just your models? Because there's a ton of cards like that say, score this objective if your warband took 2 enemies out of action this phase. So by logic, that would mean that if I killed your warband with a ploy...
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah. Right.
So I kill your model with a ploy, and then I kill your model with an attack. In my opinion, and by logic and reasoning, my warband took 2 of your models out. But their argument is, well, you killed one of them with a ploy card, so that's not your fighter. So
yeah.
There's a ton... Okay, so it boils down to this. The side of warband equals everything, it comes down to logic, reasoning, multiple wordings that don't make sense otherwise, and absolutely no reason for them to differentiate the terms if there's no difference in the terms. Like, there's no reason to list a card as warband if it means fighters. And the argument against at this point has boiled down to Games Workshop doesn't write good rules. that is where they're at.
I would say if they didn't have specific cards that say fighters, then
they're two defined terms.
They're two. Yeah, I would. Yeah, I agree with you. Normally, I like to be like on the opposite side of the with pedantry. I love being on the guy who goes no, because I've done that before. I love going.
Well, there are a few where someone's like, I'm like, oh, that's fucking stupid, and I'm like, I re-look at what they said, and I'm like, actually, that needs a ruling. Like, I'm like, oh, okay. They need to do it. There's a few things that need ruling. They need to define timing for reactions. And they need to define what is a warband. And they did say that they're answering them on the next FAQ. Oh, that's the response I got. They said, like, thanks for the input. We pass as the rules team, and we can assure you that they will be on the next FAQ. And I was like, nice.
We're quite chuffed at your response.
Well, because like, reactions is another big thing, too, because, like, the way Shadespire works is you don't really have counter spells, like in Magic. Like, if you play a card, generally there's one card that can, but there's not a bunch of cards where I play it and be like, ha, your card's negated. But the way Shadespire works is a situation occurs, only one player gets to play a reaction. Like, there is like one that gets to do it. So like, if I have a reaction that says when a model dies, and if you have a reaction that says when a model dies, whichever one of us has priority at the time gets that opportunity, and the other person is denied. But the problem is, and not necessarily a problem, but like the way cards reactions are worded have like very specific keyed timings. So there's a bit of an argument on like there. So, for example, Soul Trap. Soul Trap is a card that says during an attack action that takes this fighter out of action, roll a dice to save him. That's the way it's worded.
Yeah.
And then there's a card that is called Trap, which is during an attack action that drives this fighter back, deal plus one damage. So they both say during an attack action. However, so like that, like if both just said during an attack action flat, then it would be a cut and dry. Like whoever has priority gets to do the thing. But you can't, it doesn't make any sense to be able to deny the effect of Soul Trap with the card Trap, because when you do the, because before you do the push, the model's not dead. So you can't activate your defensive ability. It's not possible. So if I play Trap, then kill your model, you should then be able to activate your defensive ability, even though it's technically the same attack.
Yeah, this is getting way too technical, and I just stopped caring about halfway through what you were talking about.
Because, I mean, it's but like that was one of the things that came up, because someone's like, oh, this should be able to stop it. And I'm just like, I don't think so, because I always play, but because the timings are so specific. They're always like after an attack action that does this thing, or during an attack action that does this specific thing. So it seems like there's a little bit of like, timing rules, because they have the only one reaction per instance, like they need to clarify a little further.
By the way, I figured out what I like about Shadespire.
I like everything about Shadespire. Well,
I know
it's
you great. Do. But with the reason why I like it is because it's like the game, remember Spartacus, Blood in the Sand?
Yeah.
It's the coolest part of that game.
Oh, nice. Yeah, like, Shadespire is like, humorously enough, like the game I've been kicking around in my head for years, like that I've been messing around with like cards and minis, like it's that game. Like, yeah. it's just a produced version of the game I've been like kicking around in my head, because like I've been thinking of doing a Warbands game for forever, like with cards that activate your unit, and I was like, oh yeah, it's just Shadespire. Yeah. So I'm like, I'm not making a game. I'll just tell people to play Shadespire.
And it's probably cheaper to get into than every other card game out there.
Oh, guaranteed.
Yeah.
Yeah, no question.
Well, I mean,
even if you buy the full thing for like the $300, it's still, you get everything. Like, it's still cheaper to get into than anything else.
Well, let's see. You got, there's six factions out right now, right? Or eight.
It's
eight factions.
There are two in the base game.
Yeah.
So that's $60.
Yeah.
And then there are skeletons and orcs for the first wave, which are $30 each. Then there are dwarves and skaven, which are $30 each. And then Magor's Fiends and Far Striders, which are $30 each.
Yeah.
So there are six warband packs and then one starter.
Six, that's 180 plus 60. So that's only 240.
Oh, it's even cheaper.
Yeah.
I was just generalizing, but yeah.
No, it's, yeah.
240. So that's way, that is the cheapest LCG to get into.
Yeah. And plus, if on the next, I don't know, well, they'll probably do a box game again, because they're going to have to release new boards and stuff like that. All right. And then, so other big things that came out of that Warhammer weekend was Horus Heresy. People are still, is it dead? Is it not? It's probably going to be, it's probably dying. But they are releasing a new book, and it's going to be Blood Angels are going to be coming out, and Alpha Legion, and I think White Scars, I think, are coming out. The big rumor, the big rumor on the 40K side is that we're going to see the second Loyalist Primarch release soon. And everyone's like, who is it going to be? Who's it going to be? Is it going to be Rogel Dorn? Is it going to be Lemon Russ? Is it going to be Lionel Johnson?
It should be Lemon Russ.
So apparently for this edition, this 8th edition of 40K, there will be 3 Loyalist Primarchs released and 3 Traitor Primarchs released. So we already have Magnus, we have
Mortarion,
and we...
The next one's going to be Angrath, isn't it?
Angron?
I think it's what it's going to be.
It's probably going to be Angron. It'll be either be Angron or Fulgrim, if they do...
Who's Fulgrim?
He's the Emperor's Warriors? Children.
Emperor's Children.
Yeah. No, you're thinking of Perturabo.
That's Iron Warriors guy.
Yeah, because it's like, fun to say
Perturabo.
Perturabo.
I like the Iron Warriors. They're cool. They're cool.
Well,
army.
They're iron within, iron without.
Yeah, I like their aesthetic. I like
hazard stripes.
Yeah, I like them. I like the metal look with the hazard stripes. I think it looks cool.
Eh, it's fine.
I think you can overdo the hazard stripes, but I think it looks really cool to have like
more hazard stripes. That's what I say.
No, I think I think every model should have hazard stripes on it, but I think you can put too many hazard stripes on one model. Like,
never.
If you've got a model with a power fist, he doesn't need hazard stripes on his shoulder pad and his power fist. Just his power fist is fine.
No, put it everywhere.
Yeah, you're an everywhere boy.
Everywhere. If you saw my Sons of Horus, you'd see hazard stripes all over the place. And you're like, why the fuck are you putting hazard stripes on Sons of Horus? I'm like, why not? I put in hazard stripes and checkerboards. That's my thing. It's my thing, yo. No, so
it's
yeah,
my thing now.
So the apparently the second
and chevrons, lots of chevrons.
So we already got the robot Ghouliman, Girlyman for the
robot Ghouliman.
We have him released, and then so the
it's a cool model. I like the model.
What they what they're saying is that
the face is stupid though. Use the helmet, please.
Oh yeah, yeah. That,
please use the helmet.
That face with that massive chin. You're like,
please
what
use
the
helmet.
Fuck,
please do me a personal favor. Use the helmet.
Oh man, as I was saying, there's like there is legit. Oh, that's the other. We got to talk about the new board game, but we'll talk about that in a second. Mm. There's people who like there's this sculptor in GW who's legit terrible, who keeps making everything look super cartoony and awful, and I can't figure out who it is because they don't put like sculpted by anymore on stuff.
What minis are you referring to?
Like the Reboot Gilliam chin.
Oh,
and then like,
yeah, but that model's great except for the
head. Exactly.
So I mean, I wouldn't knock that sculptor specifically because I think that model's amazing.
But then, like the new
and they very graciously gave us a helmet.
The Rogue. Well, that's because they were like, oh, well the Rogue like in Rogue Trader, the new board, the box set that's coming out.
Oh yeah, the Nurgle guys.
The Nurgle guys. Some of them look amazing. And then there's that the like the Demon Prince or whatever whose face looks fucking awful.
So every one of those. So the one that has like the mouth in its stomach and the tentacles, yeah. he's fine.
Yeah, he's fine. Yeah,
totally
yeah.
fine. There's the one that has all of the mouth in his stomach yeah. and the giant cleaver and the mouths in the arm. That model is like 3/4 fucking amazing. And then he's got the stupid fucking heads on his right arm and his stupid fucking head
with the big pointy hair that looks terrible,
awful. But like so I mean obviously it's an easy conversion, you just fucking chop those shitty heads off. But like, how can you do such a good job for so much of the model and then blow it?
Well, and that's the thing is like, so we're talking about Rogue Trader. It's a new box game that's going to be coming out, I think, in the fall.
Yeah, it's got the goodest boy in the universe.
The goodest boy in the universe. He's a little puppy.
He's so cute. Little Doberman.
It's the second puppy they released because they released a puppy for Necromunda too.
That's true.
Through Forge World, so they're releasing this box game, which
it's the Judge Dredd guys versus Nurgle guys, isn't it?
Well, not the Arbites.
It's not the Arbites? Oh.
It's Rogue Traders.
I thought it was Arbites.
So it's like... Got
it's an actual group of goons?
Yeah, so
like,
you got like
random Guardians of the Galaxy?
Yeah, you got it's all like very goofy looking and very John Blanche and stuff like that. But the problem is that... So like the assassin that they put in the box set is carrying around a Nurgle head like she cut off. So you have this like badass looking John Blanche sculpt with this goofy fucking looking head that she has in her hand. And it's the same type of head
you know
on
me,
that model.
Like, holding... The models holding heads like...
It's stupid to begin with.
Almost always is like terrible. Like the old there's so few that get away with it. Like Garrick for Shadespire gets away with it. There's a couple others. Like there's one dude, I can't remember what he's, but he's just got a skull. Like he's holding a skull like towards him. Yeah. Gets away with it. But there's so many where like
what's the Legion of the Damned guy? Remember him? He's got the skull and he's holding it up like Kalima.
Yeah, that looks fucking stupid. But like, see, like Magor's got it. Magor's done it really well.
Let me see Magor.
Here, take a look in his right arm. His right arm is fine.
Why does the skull have hair on it?
It's not hair. It's rope that he's holding the skulls with. They're bound together.
I don't know. It looks like hair. I think
sure
that's hair, Steve. Because
there's multiple skulls. I'm pretty sure
they're
bound together.
Hair is on the skulls.
Give me that sheet.
I'm sorry, dude.
Give me that sheet.
That's
clearly rope. It's tied around the top and
everything.
Yeah,
it's a top knot.
It's not a top knot. There's not three top knot. He's not holding three skulls by each of their top knots.
I think that's what's happening. It's a stupid model.
No.
It's
no, you're wrong.
Skulls shouldn't have hair.
He's got a big ass orc skull. And he's got a chaos skull too, because one of the skulls has a horn. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. But she's not like one of those crazy Indian women that you see on like Ripley's Believe It or Not, who has a horn growing out of their head.
Yes, the unicorn woman.
Yes. But yeah, so
it's always India.
What?
I said it's always India.
It's always India. the land of the dead. The land of the walking dead.
Well, I mean, it's just because they have, you know, massive population. So.
And the plague.
Do you have the plague? And the poop in the street.
The poo in the loo, Steve.
Yes.
So, yeah. So that's... But the 40K, so they're... The rumor is that of the three Loyalist Primarchs that are coming, two of them already have models that exist in Forge World, so it'll be Rabaut and then one of the other ones, and then one has never had a model produced. So out of all the Loyalist Primarchs who do not have a model produced, you don't have Jigati Khan, Sanguinius, and Lionel Johnson. Those are the three who don't have. Yeah,
Lionel is Dark Angels, right?
Yeah.
It's going to be Lionel Johnson.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Oh, yeah.
So they're not going to release, like, all of a sudden you have Jigati Khan, because the idea of
It'll actually probably be both Sanguinius and Lionel Johnson, because they have full ranges.
No, it'll be, for the three, my bet is it's going to be Rabaut. It's going to be Lionel Johnson.
Oh, because Rabaut counts in this three?
Yeah.
Okay.
Rabaut, Lionel Johnson, and it'll be Russ. Because those are the big three.
Oh, Russ, too. Yeah, that makes sense. Well, Russ is just as reasonable as Sanguinius or Lionel. Like, those three.
Well, Sanguinius in lore has had his head is killed.
Oh, right. Dead. Because didn't he get decapitated by Horus?
I think he just got killed by Horus.
Okay.
Ferris Manus got decapitated.
Okay. Okay.
Because on Emperor Texas speech, Ferris Manus's head shows up as a ghost. And it's just the head just with the head. A ghost body on it. Like
so
a
no,
little
so no Sanguinius, so it's probably going to be Lionel and.
Yeah. Because those are also the three who are still technically around in lore.
Also have fully fleshed out
armies
that are available.
The only way I'd say it would be Jigati is if.
They do a White Scars release?
If they do like a re release of the bikes, because the bikes are super old. So if they redo the bikes.
I could see
then
that.
Then maybe they'd do a White Scar.
That'd be a cool way to sell the bikes, too. Like, be like, yep, here's the new bikes, and here's a fucking Primarch, and a big-ass fucking chopper.
Exactly. Like, you get Jigati Khan on a huge-ass fucking motorcycle.
Yeah, he'll be on, like, a giant tiger or something.
He'll be on a tiger cycle.
Yeah.
It's a motorcycle that's a tiger.
Like the old Cyborgs. Yes. Where it's just a pig front with a wheel in the back.
Yes.
It's just a tiger front with a wheel in the back. Or a tiger holding onto a wheel.
Yeah, no, that's a tiger holding onto a wheel.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we got something here, Steve.
Yes.
I think we got something here.
Speaking of tigers holding on the wheels, did you see everyone butthurt about the Thundercats reboot?
No. They already did a Thundercats reboot.
This one is in the style of Teen Titans Go. It's a silly Thundercats. It's called.
I love Teen Titans Go.
It's called We Are Thunder. I think it's called We Are Thundercats, something like that. But yeah, it's like it's very silly looking. It's in that current animation style that like OKKO, Let's Be Heroes, and like Clarence, like all that like the current era of animation style. They rebooted the Thundercats to that.
Oh, okay. I'll watch it. Teen Titans Go. The movie is coming out in July. I'm so excited. It's got Nicolas Cage doing Superman. Finally.
Yeah, he's finally gonna be Superman.
I know. I'm so excited. Excited.
Nicolas Cage is very excited. You know what? I bet you are not as excited as Nicolas Cage is.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to be Superman.
I saw Deadpool 2 last night.
I haven't yet to see it.
It's great. It's so good.
I saw there was a bootleg of it online. I might have to watch it that
way. I went to the drive-in and saw the double feature of Deadpool 2 and Super Troopers 2.
Oh, that's a good double feature.
It was a good double feature. Super Troopers 2, I will say, upon one viewing, definitely not as good as the first one, but... much better than I expected, and certainly better than the last sequel I saw to a first original movie I really loved, which was Zoolander 2.
Yeah, Zoolander 2 was awful.
Terrible.
However,
I was so upset because I fucking love Zoolander.
I will stand by Anchorman 2. I know a lot of people hate Anchorman 2. I love Anchorman 2.
I haven't
2.
Seen Anchorman 2, but I have seen the fight from Anchorman 2, which cracked me up. Just more and more people keep showing up.
When Harrison Ford shows he's up as a werewolf. No, he's a werewolf.
Oh, right.
When he shows up as a werewolf, I laughed so fucking hard in the theater. My wife thought I was going to have a heart attack.
So like that was, I've seen that and I enjoyed that. But Zoolander 2 was terrible and such a disappointment.
Such a disappointment.
I was upset because I loved the first Zoolander and I was so excited to see a sequel because Zoolander was one of those movies that it didn't do well in theaters because when it came out, 9/11 happened. So like a bunch of movies like that were, that might have otherwise been successful didn't work, but Zoolander found like a huge new life on DVD because like people were like, oh, this movie's fucking great, and so I was excited to see a sequel, and like I watched it and I was like, oh, this movie's not good.
So because we had so much Games Workshop news, I asked people, like, you know, what are some stuff that we need to talk about, because there's so much shit, you know, going on with GW. I don't want to forget other stuff, and I might do this more often because we actually got some pretty great stuff, pretty great responses to it. This is more than just the mailbag, which is ask general questions. This is about like what's going on in the gaming world that you want us to talk about. James asks about Axis and Allies and zombies. Is that a thing?
Yep, it's Axis and Allies zombies. It's brand new. Pre-order this week or last week.
I can honestly say fuck that.
It's gonna be fucking huge, dude.
It's gonna be huge. People love Axis and Allies.
Huge.
I don't. I like Axis and Allies, but I don't often have 12 hours to play a game, so
it's going to be gigantic. It's going to be like everyone's.
Would it be gigante?
Sabato gigante?
Yeah,
Sabato. It's going to be fucking big because people really like Axis and Allies. People generally like zombies. It's only $40. Yeah. So
it's only $40.
It's only $40.
Gonna, that's gonna fucking sell.
It's only $40, and the cover's really cool looking. It's got a split face. It's got a dude in one of those old mustard gas masks, and then
a zombie face.
A zombie face split. And I was like, that looks really cool. Like, I would not play it, but as far as from my standpoint of wanting to sell games, and from a retailer standpoint, like yes, please.
And James also says, and the company that did the Evil Dead Kickstarter and most recent Terminator Kickstarter is in, he says, in shot for taking $1 million.
Space Goat. They appear to have taken their $1 million in Kickstarter and run.
That's what you do, man. That's what you do. Hey, if you support that, if you give that money back, awesome.
Oh, they're not.
If you give your product, awesome. If not, just run, man. Just run until they catch up with you. Until the SEC catches up with you.
I believe they have legalized themselves into a defensive position because he has filed with the SEC. SCE.
Oh, SCE.
Yeah, it's SCE. It's actually kind of hard to say that.
Yeah.
So he has filed, and they disclosed all the shit, and right now. The current status is that company is selling shares of their company, and they need to sell like $240,000 worth of shares in their company in like 40 days to get the games produced. And if those and if that $240,000 doesn't come, the games aren't being made.
Yeah,
man, what a dick.
Yeah.
And apparently the guy is like a huge shitlord. Like there's like been multiple accusations against him by like of sexual harassment and stuff. So yeah, there you go. And he looks, you don't even need to Google what he looks like, because he looks exactly how you imagine him.
Nice.
But not fat. Imagine him, but skinny.
Oh,
that's
okay.
That's how he is.
All right. Cliff, just so you know, it's not gonorrhea. It is that was just crabs. So Simon asks us, the beautiful Simon asks us, Confrontation Kickstarter. No, I'm joking. It was a goddamn fiasco. It's pretty much a fiasco. I mean, it still made its money.
Yeah.
It was basically just a re-release of all the old Confrontation sculpts in resin. And it was like, you could either buy the $1.
Was it $300?
It was $300 to buy in, and you got everything, which is nice, but at the same time, it's like...
Couldn't you get it all from a Russian recaster for like $100?
Yeah.
If that.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I saw that, and I was like, oh, you know what? I will admit, though, when he brought that up, I went and looked, and like I got a little like...
Because you saw the dwarfs.
I saw all the models. I was just like, fuck, those models are so good.
I have them all.
It just reminded me. Well, what are you going to do with them? They're fucking sitting in a drawer.
Well, no.
They're never to see the light of day again.
That's fine. That's mine.
Yeah, it's because you've got a problem.
I do. Caster Chan asks how buildings can be based too. Yes, buildings should be based. Always base your buildings. And also,
isn't that normal?
Yeah.
Like
if you base your buildings, well, you don't have to. Sometimes terrain could just be terrain. You don't have to necessarily base it. You should.
Well, no, I guess there's a decent amount that you don't need to. Like depending on what it is, it should have a base or not.
Yeah. And also when you do it, if you take hardboard, first of all, hardboard bases, like when I say like MDF.
Yeah, the MDF, the brown board.
First of all,
beveled
sand
edge.
Down those fucking corners.
Yep, beveled
if
edge.
I see a 90-degree corner on a base, I take that piece of terrain and I smash it
beveled
right in front of the person.
Edge.
And then you bevel the edge.
Yes.
But no, it's getting rid of the 90-degree is more important than beveling the edge.
Sure.
You have to round that. Round that fucking edge.
Take your fucking
Dremel or your sander or whatever. I use a belt sander. Just
go outside.
Yeah.
I don't do enough woodworking to invest
that's
in a belt
sander. Yeah. I mean, I got a nice belt sander that I use for that. And
you probably use it a lot. I don't think I would. And now that I think about it, like those box buildings, the ones that are just like a square, that doesn't need a base. But things that are like ruins are really good to have bases.
Ruins
are really good to have bases because then it gives you a very specific area for the terrain. Like if you're, you know, are you fully in the terrain? It's like this is the terrain piece.
Yeah.
Because it's ruins, so you know.
Ruins.
So if you want your cover save, as long as you know your army's within that like
area.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's a good reason to base it. Yeah, I see that. Yeah. I don't think that's a weird thing at all.
As long as you don't have 90-degree angles on your MDF and you bevel the bases, we're fine. We're all good here, people. We're all good.
You can only get away with the 90 degree.
You cannot get.
There is a way to do it, and here's how. It can't look like ground. It has to be like concrete. Like if you have like
a sidewalk,
right? Like a sidewalk.
Yeah, no.
You can do it.
You know, you bevel just a tiny bit off the 90 degree mark, so it's a little rounded.
Just a bit.
You never leave it.
Give it the
straight
sidewalk
cut.
Look.
Yeah,
and you have to give it. You have to give it those. The lines,
yeah.
So it looks like they poured it in the blocks.
Yes. Next up, Star Wars Legion. Stop talking about that dead game and start talking about Star Wars Legions.
Did you just tell us to stop talking about a dead game and start talking about a dead game?
No, it's more than alive. They're releasing two new characters. They're releasing Leia and Boba Fett, of course, because you got to have Boba Fett in the game.
Yeah, and Leia for all of her battles on Tatooine against stormtroopers.
Hey, she actually shot someone on Endor.
Yeah.
Oh, and then she got shot.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Sure. I
think she's the only person who technically kills a stormtrooper in the first movie.
No, Solo kills one, doesn't he?
Maybe.
I think he shoots one with one of their blasters.
I'm sure we'll find out about it in the upcoming epic Solo.
Solo.
Where,
Pando?
Pando. Pansexual
that's
Lando.
That's my favorite, Pando.
Why would anybody think that Lando Calrissian wouldn't have sex with anything with
that's
that
what I. That's what I fucking said. I put that on Twitter. I was like, Lando doesn't pass on ass. Any ass. He's Lando.
It doesn't even need an ass. As long as it has a hole.
Yeah. If he can fuck it. He's gonna. Yeah.
Well, I mean, he doesn't have to fuck it. I mean, as long as he can, you know.
If he can intimately interact.
If he can get intimate with something, he's gonna do it.
He will. He's fucking
Lando. I think that's a better way of
saying it, yeah. Yeah. He's the coolest fucking character in Star Wars.
Yeah.
Of course he's gonna. Yeah. No question.
Yeah. Yeah. His libido is as big as the Death Star.
Yeah. You think he didn't fuck Lobot? He fucked Lobot.
Well, who wouldn't?
I mean, I'm not judging. I would fuck Lobot, obviously. Yeah. But. Bend over, human. It is time.
It is time to get loboted.
Fisto.
So the Star Wars Legion. Yeah, they're releasing those two characters, and they're also releasing snowtroopers. They're releasing a lot of the Hoth stuff.
It's not dead yet. Like I said, Legion's got maybe 2 years. Maybe.
Well, Legion's. It's going to depend, because I think that they're banking on Legion's taking over all of the lost players
for
X-Wing.
That's not going to happen. Like I said, you would be a fool to not stock, like as a retailer, you'd be a fool to not stock the base game.
Yeah.
But heavily investing into it as something that's going to be around for a long time, I feel is extremely unlikely.
James wants us to talk about Orc Quest Warpath, the board game.
I saw that. It's HeroQuest, but you're playing as orcs.
Yeah.
It's totally that.
It's got big titty Knolls.
It does have big titty Knolls. My favorite.
Yes. I saw that. Like, when you posted, I'm like, what? And I looked at it, and I'm like, oh, yeah.
They're big titty Knolls.
Yeah. All right, then. Okay. I'm all for it.
I was excited about that when I saw it.
I'm more upset that they're all monopose, but whatever.
Yeah, it's a board game.
I know. It's a board game.
You can get away with, like, monopose in army games, not acceptable. In a board game,
okay.
I'll give it to you in a board game.
I mean, I don't have to like it, but I accept it.
Yeah, it's good. Well, it actually... It makes me a little nostalgic when I see a game that has like an enemy that's all in one pose. It makes me nostalgic for those old 90s games like HeroQuest, where all of the goblins were just, you know, with their arm up with a little scimitar.
I understand your nostalgia, but I also think it's stupid in this day and age. Anyway,
that's fair. But but like I said, there's got to be a middle ground.
All right. Anthony wants cool resin deep ones. For a Kickstarter, the Slumbering Oblivion Cthulhu-inspired game miniatures. They're fine.
Yeah, they're cool looking deep ones. I mean, I like a Lovecraft mini.
Do they go?
That's a Murloc.
Well, the Murlocs are deep ones.
Fish fuckers.
Yeah. He also mentions a micro Kickstarter for Command's Arcadia Quest mounts.
Why? Who's still playing Arcadia Quest?
A lot of people. Apparently, that game does really well.
That's weird. I figured everyone would be still playing Super Dungeon Explorer.
They would if anything ever got released for Super Dungeon Explorer.
Any updates on that? I know you're waiting.
Nope. Nothing yet.
They haven't said why, what the delay is, or
nope. Well, it's something to do with the production. They had to move production completely.
Oh,
something was going
on. That's a huge deal.
Yeah, there's not enough old Asian ladies smoking inside the factory, apparently, for their taste.
That's a huge deal. And as someone who works on that, and I can feel their pain. And unfortunately, a lot of times when you're dealing with manufacturers, like, you don't have an answer because they won't fucking give you one.
Yeah.
Because you're like, when is this going to happen? Like, I need to fucking know. I have customers, and they're just like. quarter four? And you're like, what does that mean?
And then Andy Meacham wants us to talk about the Hellboy Kickstarter.
Oh, dude, that Kickstarter looks fucking awesome.
It's way too expensive for what it is, though.
No, have you seen how much shit you get now?
Like, oh, is it? Well, but I mean, is that base game or is that based upon stretch goals?
There are three add-ons. Oh, no, four add-ons. There's Hellboy in Mexico expansion, which is an add-on you have to pay for. There's tables, and then there's like accessories, like doors and tables and that kind of shit. There's two of those. One is like furniture, and the other is like wall accessories. Well, and then there's a dice tray. Yeah. Those are the four add-ons. Everything else you just get with the 130 pledge.
Yeah,
it's a lot of shit.
Well, it's still got a week to go, or it'll be 5 days when this goes up. It's expensive.
But there's a ton of shit. If you scroll down, you see all the stuff you get now.
What I like about it is that it is based off the comic, so everything looks comic booky.
Yeah, it's 115 minis, up to 115 minis right now. So you're at almost a buck a mini, which is like, I'm down with that.
You get Johan.
Yep.
And tokens, lots of decks.
The 3D busts are really cool, too.
18 minions, three bosses. You get Rasputin, the tentacle monster, mm-hmm. giant frog monster, 12 frog minions.
Yep. Also, he's got a gun.
The frog's got a gun. No, the monkey's got a gun.
Yeah, he's got a gun. That's the best panel in all of comics.
You do get the Conqueror Worm, 15 Nazis. Oh, 30 Nazis.
You get Johann Kraus as well.
18 beasts and monsters. Ooh, you get a... No, plus you get 12 extra on there.
Cronin. They just added Cronin.
Okay, so stretch goals added to pledge. You get Hecate, BRP agent Roger, backup agent Unmensch figure, Herman von Klempt. He's got a gun.
He's got a gun!
Pancakes Hellboy. Pam Cakes, it's actually. So
Pancakes.
They said it wrong. They put it wrong.
Everyone except Hellboy says pancakes, though. So, like, when Hellboy eats and says, I love pancakes, then immediately cuts the demon going, he has tasted the pancake. We are doomed.
No, he says Pam cakes. P-A-M cakes.
Hellboy says pancakes.
Yes.
But the other demon says he's tasted the pancakes. So
he's lost to us.
Yes, he's lost to us.
You get Agent Kate. You get Lobster Johnson. Yeah. Nice. Krieg-Gaff Conference. That's the monkey... Conqueror Worm scenario, Ragnarok, Rasputin, right-handed Doom token, Ilsa Hopstein, Trevor Brudenholm.
I actually just ordered the Hellboy / Savage Dragon crossover comic.
Savage Dragon. Remember when Savage Dragon, when God kicks the devil in the nuts?
I do remember that. And do you know?
I have that issue.
And do you know that two things? One, do you know that Savage Dragon is still going?
Yeah.
And two, do you know that it's basically hardcore porn now?
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. It's basically hardcore porn. It's awesome. Oh. I was watching a video and someone started talking about it and I was like, wait, Savage Dragon's still a thing? And he's like, yeah, it's basically hardcore porn now. And I'm like, hardcore porn? And I immediately look it up and I'm like, holy shit, he's busting a nut.
Wait, I gotta look this up real quick.
Yep, just look up Savage Dragon NSFW. That's the fastest way to produce the results. There is jizz and tits all over the place with Savage Dragon now.
Holy shit.
I told you. Because you know why? Because Eric Larson doesn't give a fuck, and nobody can tell Eric Larson what to do.
Yeah, I bet you're right. I always had a soft spot for Savage Dragon. I because, you know, Eric Larson's a Chicago boy.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's why Savage Dragon's a Chicago character. Same here.
Oh, yeah, there's a... Yeah, yep, Savage Dragon is definitely having
fucking
sex.
He's busting a nut.
In these panels. And then he fights Donald Trump? Cool.
Yeah, Eric Larson's done something for every president.
Yeah.
God,
this brings back so many memories.
Yeah, you were experiencing what I experienced yesterday. I was just like, oh, Savage Dragon. Like, that's a comic that I collected that comic, like, when it was new, like, when it was brand new. It was one of the comics I collected because he was fucking cool as shit. He's a big green dude with a fin. I was like, that guy's awesome looking. Yeah, it was pretty wild.
Yeah. I mean, Savage Dragon was a great designed comic.
Oh, yeah. Very cool aesthetic.
The style, the aesthetic. I was a big fan of the. He's just like a really nice. It's a cool design where he's a cop, he's green, and he has the fin. It's very iconic, and I appreciate that.
Well, you look at it and you're like, that's Savage Dragon.
Exactly.
And like when they did she Savage Dragon, it's immediately like, that's Savage Dragon. Like, there's no way to mistake that design.
Yeah, it's perfect in its simplicity, mm-hmm. especially with the cop outfit too. On top of that,
yeah, he's got the tie
because you can change his outfit, but you can still say that's Savage Dragon.
Yep.
Yeah, and he's got the little giant chest.
He's super DC style, top heavy.
Yeah,
and Bruce Timm style, top heavy.
And it's appreciated in the 90s kind of way, because in the 1990s, when you got all that Image stuff, there was very few of the designs that were super iconic that came out of that era.
Yeah, most were just kind of like fucking
like generic superhero.
No feet. What's his fucking name?
Rob Liefeld.
Yeah, Rob Liefeld,
the guy who created Deadpool. He created the Deadpool that you know and love.
No, that was actually a chick writer. The first one who started doing the goofy Deadpool breaking the third wall stuff was a lady.
Are you saying
there's debate on this issue?
There's debate. I'm not going to get into it. But Rob Liefeld will generally go down as like the creator of Deadpool, along with Fabian Nicieza.
Yeah, well, I mean, Rob Liefeld's created a lot of characters that other people have made good.
Yeah, like
that's,
Supreme.
Yeah, that's totally a thing. Although did Liefeld create Strong Guy?
Strong guy.
He's got the tiny little red glasses.
From X-Force?
Yeah, he's got the tiny little red glasses and the spit curl.
That's a little bit.
Fucking love Strong Guy.
His name is Guido, actually, his real name.
Yeah, but his name is Strong Guy.
X-Force. I don't know if he created him or not. That's a little bit outside my wheelhouse. I was never being an X-Force fan.
I gotta see if they have who made. Chris Claremont and Claremont. Bill Sienkiewicz.
Yeah.
Yeah, first appeared in New Mutants 29.
Yeah.
I love Strong Guy. That's one of my favorites. Like,
he's a heart attack. I think that's how he dies. Well, at least how he died in the 90s.
Yeah, I mean, he's not dead. No one's dead.
No one's dead in comics. Yeah. The iconic characters that came out of that era, there was like, I could think of two that are like instantaneously, if you see them, you'd be like, I know that. That's Savage Dragon and Spawn. Pretty much it.
Yeah.
I mean, Spawn...
And they had a crossover, too.
Yeah. Spawn is a little bit of a ripoff of the Prowler, you know, like that aesthetic. But, I mean, Todd McFarlane's not necessarily known for being that creative in what he does.
Yeah. Although Todd McFarlane did do the really cool web design for Spider-Man.
He did.
And they still use that web design.
Yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong. I love Todd McFarlane. I think he's a fantastic artist. I think he's a little overblown in... How great he's...
A little overblown? He's very overblown.
He basically turned comics into a business. I mean, trust me, we wouldn't have the MCU now if it wasn't for what Todd McFarlane did in the 90s.
Oh, for sure.
With all of that stuff.
I mean, he created his own fucking boom.
However, I will say that Jim Lee, with his, not Top Cow, Wildstorm imprint, did some fucking fantastic books. I will go down in defending most of Jim Lee's... canon.
Do people not like Jim Lee? Jim Lee's great.
No, but I mean like his Image stuff. So like, you know, like Wildcats and Gen 13 and all of that stuff.
I think it might have been Wildstorm or Wildcats. I don't remember. There's an Image team that had a crossover issue. Or not a they had a crossover event with aliens, like the 20th Century Fox aliens.
Yeah, that was Wildstorm.
Was it Wildstorm?
Yeah.
Yeah, because characters from Wildstorm died.
Yeah.
And they died. Like, they actually died. It wasn't like when you get back to the regular Wildstorm things, it's like, yeah, no, they were killed by fucking aliens. And it's like, oh, shit. That's the coolest crossover event I think I've ever, like, I think that still stands as the best crossover event.
Well, yeah, because then they rebuild the team.
Right.
With... that's where they bring in Apollo and the Night Hunter, I think was his name, who were the gay Batman and Superman.
Yes.
Which was fucking fantastic.
Yes. I love the idea of it, because crossovers are always like throwaways for the most part.
Yeah,
like
Wildcats, not Wildstorm.
You can be like, whatever, like, you know, this crossover doesn't matter. But like having a crossover that actually impacts the story of your main book, I'm like, that's pretty cool.
No, the book was Stormwatch.
Stormwatch.
That was the book. It was in the Wildstorm imprint with Wildcats. Stormwatch was like a superhero team, which was a pretty good book, not like in the 90s kind of way.
I remember one was an Asian ghost guy, like he was like gas.
Yeah.
And he got killed because the fucking alien blood melted his suit and his gas dispersed.
Yeah. No, that was... Oh, God, that's bringing back some memories now. God, yeah. That was a little later. I think that was like early 2000s when they did that.
Yeah, and then...
Because they brought it back as the Authority. Stormwatch was rebranded as Authority after they did all
that's
of
right.
that. Because that's when they brought in Apollo and the Night Hunter.
Yes.
And they brought in Jenny Century, some character who was like only born once every 100 years. Like a new version of her is born. And that's when they got the big ship that would go in between the universes called the Bleed. Oh, so fucking cool. I mean, if you guys have never...
It's 90s cool.
It's still pretty cool. I'm gonna stick by it. I loved all of that. Gen 13, oh my God, the giant boobies in that book got me through puberty. All right. So anyway, go to planetarbitrary.com for your Planet Arbitrary needs. You can follow me at Twitter at giantboobies.com. No, at planetarbitrary.com. You can follow Steve at...
I'm Command Throw.
Like the Facebook page, / Game Classy Podcast. You could also like our sister podcast. We got Play On Podcast, which is all about video games. You got Weeb Town, which is all about playing video games that are Asian. And then you also got Deconstructing Daycare, which is all about kitty shows. Yay!
Weird
and how they're weird in general. You could also watch us on the YouTubes. Best way you can help us out on the YouTubes and iTunes to like, comment, and subscribe. We haven't gotten any comments in a long time. So, put those comments up there. Just let people know. We've done this show for, 170 episodes?
A million years.
We could do it. It's been about 5 years. Yeah, no.
It's longer.
And I remember.
It's been longer than 5 years.
The way that you did me. Now that I'm standing on my... Did you watch the Royal Wedding this morning?
No.
It was like the Renaissance Fair.
Why would I watch that?
Because you could see a bunch of British, like...
Why is there another royal wedding? Who's royal and who's
the,
getting married?
The redhead is marrying Meghan Markle.
Who the fuck is Meghan Markle?
She was on the TV show Suits.
What the fuck is Suits?
It's a USA show where characters are welcome.
Oh, USA. I believe they have that...
No,
you
haven't said it. It's USA. Characters welcome.
Oh, shit. What's that lawyer show that has the RPG
Suits?
From Margaret Weiss? No.
Oh,
Leverage, the RPG.
It's not a lawyer show. That's like a revenge show.
Whatever. There's an RPG for it.
Yes,
tabletop RPG. Yeah. Speaking of tabletop RPGs, real quick, Warhammer Fantasy Roleplay 4th edition is coming.
It is from the
Modiphius, the guys
doing,
who make Star Trek.
I figure once we get more info on that one, we'll.
That's gonna be fucking awesome. I pre-ordered the collector's edition.
I'm hoping that it's just gonna be better than like a reprint of all of the old
it's
ones.
It's not a reprint. It's a new edition.
Yes. I mean, what I'm saying is just like. Oh, here's this edition's version of Shadows over Bofenhagen, and
oh, yeah, we'll see.
Something's Rotten in Kids Live, and all of like this every edition.
Modiphius does good work, so we'll see.
Yeah, and also, I wanted to bring this up. This cast tagging it onto the end is that I really think that there needs. I don't know if there's ever been an RPG where the DM is playing the leader of the group who's trying to get everyone killed.
Star Trek.
Is that Star Trek? The DM plays the captain. Yeah, that's right. Because I was watching Ash vs. the Evil Dead Season 3. I've been binging it.
Oh, is it on Netflix now?
It's not on Netflix yet.
Oh, okay.
I have sources. But I was thinking, there really needs to be an RPG where the DM is Ash, and you guys are just goons who follow Ash.
Trying to not die.
Trying to not die, because Ash is so fucking stupid that he's going to get you killed. I think that game could work. I really do. I'm going to put this into our pile of games that we should do along with our WWF wrestling game. Like, this needs to be something where it's like you're playing as Ash. You're fighting Deadites and everything else. And, like, I would like to do, like, the modern one. And then there's even, like, we could do an 80s one and a medieval one.
You know, I think that would work really well as a board game. Where you have a DM-based board game. Where you have like the character, like I'm playing as the Ash character, as your opponent / friend.
It could. I mean, I could see it going either way. I like the idea of the RPG though, because I like the idea of the DM, like. All right, and Ash says he's going to go out for supplies, so you guys are stuck in the house together. You guys got to do whatever you want. And then it just, like midway through a turn, Ash just blasts in through a window and, like, being followed by, like,
He's been punched in the window by a Deadite.
Yeah, and then there's, like, a bunch of Deadites outside the window. Yeah. He's like...
I could see that.
Yeah.
I mean, I think you do... I don't think you even need a specific system. I think you can just have, like, just use whatever system you want and have the fucking... the principal character, quote unquote, like always make the situation worse.
Yeah, I mean I like the idea of Evil Dead. We'd have to make it
something very specific with
Evil Dead.
Yeah.
Like every time you get a new character, like when your character dies, the character becomes a Deadite. And so you have to, like, your new character now has to fight your old character.
The first thing you do is fight your old character.
Yeah, exactly.
That's good.
Yeah. All right. So Steve, until next time.
Watch Deadpool 2.
Game Classy.